Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Wake up, little bunnies! Skip, little bunnies, skip, 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 little bunnies, skip, 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 little bunnies, skip, 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 and stop! Let's hop again! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, 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 and stop!
That's Ms. Rachel, dancing with Raha, a three-year-old double amputee from Gaza who lost her legs in an Israeli airstrike. Ms. Rachel's videos are watched by millions of children around the world. She's been called the Mr. Rogers of our era. And she hasn't shied away from speaking out about injustice, most notably about Gaza and the plight of Palestinian children.
It's never been wrong to say not to starve children and not to bomb children and not to kill 15,000 children. What's wrong is to be silent.
We'll speak with Ms. Rachel in one of her first live interviews and Tarek Helat with the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Plus, in this Labor Day special, we'll air readings from Howard Zinn's Voices of a People's History of the United States, including Alfre Woodard reading the words of the labor activist Mother Jones.
I want you to pledge yourselves in this convention to stand as one solid army against the foes of human labor. Think of the thousands who are killed every day, and there is no redress for it. We will fight until the mines are made secure and human life valued more than crops.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Well, if you've spent any time around young children in recent years, our first guest may need no introduction. The Washington Post has called her the Mr. Rogers of our era. Her YouTube channel has about, 16 million subscribers and more than 10 billion views. In January, Netflix began licensing episodes. Her show is now the seventh most watched on Netflix in the first half of this year. We're talking about Ms. Rachel, the children's entertainer, educator, and mother, who's become a worldwide sensation over the past 6 years since she began posting videos for toddlers on YouTube. Much like Mr. Rogers before her, Ms. Rachel hasn't shied away from speaking out about injustice, most notably about Gaza and the plight of Palestinian children. She recently wrote on Instagram, "I want my taxes to help children, not kill them. I want my taxes to feed children, not starve them. I want to build a better world, not bomb it," unquote. In another Instagram post, Ms. Rachel said she would refuse to work with anyone who's not spoken out against the treatment of Palestinians in Gaza. She's also featured Palestinian children on her show. This is a video of Ms. Rachel singing with Rahaf, a three-year-old girl from Gaza who lost both her legs in an Israeli airstrike.
Let's go back to sleep, Rahaf. We're so tired. See the bunny sleeping till it's nearly noon. Shall we wake them with a merry tune? They're so still. Are they ill? Wake up soon. Let's pretend to sleep. Wake up, little bunnies! Skip, little bunnies, skip, 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 little bunnies, skip, 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 little bunnies, skip, 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 and stop! Let's hop again! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, little bunnies, hop, hop, hop! Hop, 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 and stop! Yay! That was so much fun! Thank you!
That video has been liked over a million times on Instagram. The three-year-old girl in the video, Rahaf, came to the United States from Gaza for medical treatment after losing her legs in an Israeli airstrike. She was brought to the United States by the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, which has evacuated over 250 children from Gaza. On August 13th, Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez and I talked to Ms. Rachel in one of her first live interviews, as well as Tarek Helat, the director of the Treatment Abroad program for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Days after we did this interview, the State Department halted all visitor visas from Gaza, including for children who need urgent medical care. The Palestine Children's Relief Fund decried the decision as dangerous and inhumane. Let's turn now to our interview with Tarek Helat and Ms. Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. It's an honor to speak with you. Rahaf is an adorable, bright, loving three-year-old girl. She came here through the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, PCRF, and she was evacuated with her mom, Isra, and they're getting therapies and treatment at the hospital and living with a host family. And she's absolutely delightful. She's similar to three-year-olds I've worked with because she loves to pretend and she's just adorable and just taking in the world and so sweet and innocent. And then she's unlike three-year-olds I've worked with across communities because she has lost her legs. She's away from her dad and her brothers right now.
They're in Gaza.
Yeah. And just seeing her, and also she's having more of her human rights respected right now. So she's getting medical care and she's getting food and she's absolutely thriving. This girl is going to change the world. She has changed the world and she's going to go so far. She just has that chance now because she has her human rights respected. And I saw videos of her in Gaza on the hospital floor. I saw videos of her looking extremely depressed. And one of the things her mom told me is, thank you for helping her with her mental health, because in Gaza, she just looked so distraught, and she's 3 years old, and three-year-olds are so delightful and happy, and she just, yeah, it was just really, really hard seeing her in Gaza, how she looked, and the amputations, and she's been through so much, and she's three.
You rarely make overt political statements, but instead stress helping children regardless of where they live and who they are. What made you decide to speak out more forcefully on the Palestinian children? And what's been the reaction that you've gotten from your millions of followers?
Well, as an early childhood educator, I know what children need to thrive. They need food, and food is being blocked from them. They need water, and water is being blocked. They need to be in school, and they've been out of school for 2 years because most of their schools have been bombed. They need medical care, and most of their hospitals have been bombed. So I see precious children, and I see them just like I see my children. And I see all children as precious and equal. My deep care for children doesn't stop at any border. And I saw these human rights violations, and I had to speak up because it's who I am. That's who I am as Miss Rachel. I love all kids.
You've also spoken out on social media about Ariel and Kfir Bibas, Jewish children whom Hamas took hostage. And after the Bibas' deaths were announced, you wrote in a post in February, quote, "My heart is with the Bibas family, the Jewish community, and people all over the world who are grieving. We need to protect children always." But despite your speaking out that way, you've been labeled an anti-Semite by some organizations, pro-Israeli organizations. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so that's really painful because obviously it's not true. And I care so much about Jewish children and all children. And it is difficult to receive criticism, but I know who I am. And that pain will never compare to the pain of not speaking out during a genocide and what would happen if I didn't try to help. And obviously, that pain is nothing compared to a mom in Gaza who I put myself, I sat with a mom from Gaza. She is a teacher like me. And I sat with her while her child doesn't have legs. I sat with her while she FaceTimed her children who she can't eat anymore on FaceTime with them because they're so hungry. And I pictured my little boy there with my husband, and I pictured myself with my little girl having lost her legs and have that happen. And I will do anything for her. And I thought, what would I want her to do for me if we were switched? Because I was just born here and she was born there. We're not different. I saw her look at the pride on her son's face when she saw her beautiful sons in Gaza. And she had the same pride that I have when I look at my wonderful Thomas. And she is so broken about what's happened to Rahaf, but so supportive and sweet. And all she thinks about every day is getting back to her boys. And I think as a mom, the most excruciating thing in the world would be being separated from your children. And I think about Israeli moms who have children still held hostage. And I think about mothers all the time, everywhere, whose children don't have what they need. Because if I couldn't provide milk for my daughter, and it was miles away, and my baby, I have a 6-month-old, and she cries for milk, you know? And every time I feed her, I think, why is milk miles away and not getting to them? And my son said, Mommy, could the kids of Gaza, could they take a car to get the milk to the babies? And our kids are watching us. They're taking in what us grown-ups are doing, and we're not protecting children.
So Rahaf's mom is with her here. Why weren't her father and brothers able to come?
I believe Tariq can speak better to this, but I don't think that men are often approved to come. I'm not sure. They weren't approved.
And we are going to ask him in a moment, the Palestine Children's Relief Foundation. Tariq Hylett is the director of the Treatment Abroad Program for Palestine Children's Relief Fund, and he is joining us as well. Tariq, can you address that issue? Why isn't Rahaf's family all together here?
Yeah. First of all, thank you, Amy and Juan. Hello, Rachel. It's good seeing you.
Great to see you.
So obviously, it is a really difficult situation. And Rachel was actually 100% correct on the reasoning as to why we were not able to bring her other children and the father. The medically evacuating children needs the approval of the Israelis to be able to take them out. And actually, both Rahaf, her mother, and her siblings and father were all rejected the first time that we tried to evacuate them. And it didn't take until 3 other months of advocacy and petitioning to get the approval to at least Rahaf and her mother to then finally receive that approval from the Israeli military to be able to take them out and evacuate them with all the other children that we brought here to the United States. And it's really unfortunate because I don't think in any other war, conflict, genocide, would you ever see the side that is causing the harm on these children have to provide the approval for them to be medically evacuated? You know, I think about it in the context of Ukraine and Russia. You would never need the Russian approval to take a Ukrainian child out to receive medical treatment. However, it's unique in this particular case where we do need the Israeli military's approval to take out an injured child that was injured by the Israeli military.
And Tariq, your organization has evacuated over 250 children out of Gaza, but the estimates are that there were over 40,500 children have been injured since October 2024, and that includes 940 children who have had limbs amputated. What kind of medical care is necessary for amputees, especially for children amputees?
Yeah. So we are the largest Palestinian-led organization to medically evacuate children. And that is only 250 children. I mean, that is a drop in the bucket. And if we had the say on how we wanted to treat these children, it would not be evacuating them all the way to the United States to receive a prosthetic device. What we would do is part of our other programs, like our medical missions or our infrastructural program, where we build hospitals inside of Gaza, like the only pediatric oncology center currently in Gaza that was bombed twice. We would build infrastructure inside of Gaza to treat the children inside of Gaza. However, due to these restrictions and due to the crumbling healthcare infrastructure, due to the constant dangers of our buildings being destroyed, we have to evacuate children out. And again, it's only 250 children, and you're talking about the largest organization. That should just show how many months of hard work it takes just to evacuate one child like Rahaf. I mean, at the end of the day, this is the largest population of child amputees in modern history. I mean, just saying that statement alone is insane, let alone trying to imagine just all the conflicts and the wars that have happened during our lifetime and before. And this is right now the largest population of childhood amputees. And we can't even bring in prosthetics to Gaza because they won't even allow that.
I want to go back to the issue of hunger. Ms. Rachel posted on Instagram, she addresses the crisis of child starvation in Gaza, mom to mom. Ms. Rachel, you say, as you respond to a video of a mother in Gaza, she is holding her emaciated daughter and you're holding your daughter, Susie. Let's go to the clip.
I wanted to talk mom to mom. I saw the video of you and your beautiful daughter, Aya.
Look at her. You can see her bones. Look at her legs.
This is what a baby about that age should look like.
There's no baby formula available anywhere in the country. What am I supposed to do? Is it just because she's from Gaza? Do our children have to go through this just because they're from here?
And yes, it's because she's from Gaza. It's because she's born in Gaza that she's being starved. She's being punished because of where she was born. I'm so sorry that my baby has formula and yours doesn't. I'm going to do everything I can to try to help.
Our children are like any other children, like the children of the world. Look at my daughter. Her life is at risk.
Your beautiful daughter, Aya, is just like any other baby in the world. I want you to know that I see you in Aya, and I am so sorry. And the whole world needs to just stand up and say, this is wrong. I see you. I love you.
So that's the Instagram post that you, Ms. Rachel, put up. Can you talk about the response to it?
I think it's shocking for people to see what a baby that age should look like. I mean, we all love the little chunky rolls on babies' thighs. And I think I have a huge audience of parents. That's what my platform is. And I think the majority of people around the world, they want babies to be fed, and they were heartbroken seeing Aya, and they wanted to send formula themselves. Mom said, is there any way I could send my own breast milk to Aya and ask me for information? And I just, that they wanted to send their own breast milk there. It's just beautiful.
I wanted to go to another little girl who was known around the world posthumously, and that's Hind Rajab. Now, Hind Rajab came up today in the news because the Hind Rajab Foundation, along with another group, has filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court against six senior Israeli commanders over the killing of the Al Jazeera reporter Anas al-Sharif and four of his colleagues at Al Jazeera, as well as a freelance journalist who was killed along with them in that well-marked press tent against Al-Shifa Hospital. The foundation is named for Hind Rajab, that five-year-old Palestinian little girl who was killed in 2024 along with five of her family members and two rescue workers who were attempting to reach them during an attack on Gaza City. On January 29th last year, Hind Rajab climbed into a car with her aunt, her uncle, and cousins in Gaza City as they prepared to flee to the southern part of Gaza. But as they were in the car, an Israeli tank approached them and opened fire. Hind's 15-year-old cousin, Leon, called the Red Crescent for help.
Hello?
Hello, dear.
They are shooting at us.
Hello?
Hello?
They are shooting at us. The tank is next to me.
Are you hiding?
Yes, in the car. We're next to the tank.
Are you inside the car?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
So that was 15-year-old Leon, who was killed along with the rest of her family. The only one who remained alive in the car was little Hind. Wounded, she called the Red Crescent back, pleading with the dispatcher to be rescued.
Come take me. You will come and take me?
Do you want me to come and take you?
I'm so scared. Please come. Please call someone to come and take me.
Okay, dear. I will come and take you.
After seeking approval from the Israeli military, two emergency workers with the Palestine Red Crescent, Yusuf Seino and Ahmed Almadoun, went to try and rescue Hind. But dispatchers lost contact with the medics. Nearly 2 weeks later, Israeli forces finally withdrew from the area, and Hind's surviving family ventured back to the neighborhood. They found the little girl dead inside the car, alongside the bodies of five of her family members, the car riddled with bullet holes. The bodies of the two emergency workers were also found in an ambulance nearby and appear to have been killed by Israeli fire just yards from the car. After this, the Hind Rajab Foundation was formed. Her name became known around the world. You had a takeover protest at Columbia, and they renamed the building Hind Hall. Talk about hearing that story, Ms. Rachel. Talk about what it meant to you of this little conflicting reports of whether she was 5 or 6 years old.
When I heard the phone call of her begging for help, I mean, there's nothing to describe how I felt. And I posted about Hind, and then I actually heard from her mom. And Hind, she calls her angel baby. Hind loved to play doctor and take care of everyone. And Hind loves school, and she has a brother. And they're a family just like anyone's family. And I'm just so devastated at that profound loss and how it happened. And I'm so glad that you're telling her story. But it was just hearing her on the phone. There's nothing like that.
And Ms. Rachel, you've been compared by many to Mr. Rogers in terms of your influence on children around the world. You grew up watching his show. Talk about what he means to you and his political advocacy and his courage.
Yeah, I grew up loving Mr. Rogers, and I used to go up to the TV and try and block the trolley from leaving because I didn't want the show to end. He just meant so much to me as a kid. And then I continued to read his books and watch his documentaries. And there's and one part in the documentary, he swims back and forth and prays for people. And yeah, he had such deep care for children, and he took media so seriously that it should really serve children, and that it's a big responsibility. So I think about that responsibility all the time. And then people say, you know, he wasn't political, and he was political, and he, as you're showing now, he shared the pool with Officer Clemens during that time.
Play that clip. This was 1969. Mr. Rogers used his massive platform, as Ms. Rachel does today. He used it to advocate for desegregation at a time when many white Americans were fiercely against integration of schools, swimming pools, and public spaces. In this episode, Mr. Rogers invited an actor portraying an African-American policeman, Officer Clemens, to share his wading pool and towel.
Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Rogers, how are you?
Fine. Won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh,
come along.
Man.
I'll put some more water in here.
Oh. This is going to turn into a beautiful day.
You like bare feet?
Well, yeah. As I grew older, I liked it more and more.
Uh-huh. Good for you. You're pulling up your pants. I forgot to do that at first.
Oh, I don't want them to get wet.
Right.
Well, that was so enjoyable. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer.
Well, I know how busy you are. But sometimes just a minute like this will really make a difference.
Who would have thought that this was so revolutionary? And for people who are listening on the radio or just audio, there is Mr. Rogers, there is Officer Clemens, black and white feet in the wading pool, and then Mr. Rogers shares that towel for Officer Clemens to dry his feet. An incredible moment in television history. Who would have thought that would be so controversial?
Yes, and I've seen that they were throwing chemicals into the pools where black people were swimming. And I've also seen that a family was interviewed after seeing that, and that was the end of the conversation of whether pools should be segregated, because they said, if Mr. Rogers wants to share his pool, you know, we can share our pools. So I think that's really beautiful. And I will share, when Rahaf came to visit, that there, I tried to rent a space to be with Rahaf, a private space, and some people didn't want Rahaf and her family to come to the space, and we were denied. And so it made me think about just how horrible that is to say, because of who you are and where you come from, you're not welcome. And I have so many Palestinian friends now, and they're just amazing people, and it's just awful that there's dehumanization, which I've seen, and it's just so painful. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tariq if you could talk about the work of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund and how people who want to support the children of Gaza can get involved.
Yeah, thank you for that question. The Palestine Children's Relief Fund has been an ongoing organization, a trusted organization, a transparent organization for the last 30 plus years. It's older than I am. It serves multitude of functionalities. It's obviously, you know about our treatment abroad program, which is the one that I led that evacuates children like Rahaf. We've evacuated thousands of children in the last 30 years. We also have a medical missions program where we bring physicians from the United States to treat children in Palestine, in Jordan, and the Levant area. We have infrastructural program where our mission is to build the infrastructure and the medical complexes within Gaza and Palestine and the Levant area so that we don't need to bring children all the way here to receive medical treatment. And we have now been distributing aid, something that we have been doing as part of the Gaza Urgent Relief Project. We've been on the ground for the last 2 years, nonstop. Not a single day have we not been distributing aid. We've spent over $45 million since October 7th in distributing aid, like baby formula milk to children such as Aya, and many others that don't get their story highlighted. And in terms of how to help people, how to help the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, you can volunteer, you can donate on our website, and you can just speak about what's happening. And I want to touch on this very importantly, because I know Rachel's probably won't say this, but Rachel has been, I would say, one of the most significant, if not the most significant, voices for Palestinian human rights. Her advocacy has touched the hearts of people that never would have ever heard about Gaza or the Palestinian children. And that's why her voice is so vital and been so important. And I remember prior to reaching out to her, I was really sad at how everything was conveyed. And I felt like it was hopeless. And when Rachel began to speak out, I saw a tide shift like no other. I mean, to the point where I'm a medical student here, and I remember going to my medical class and some of the surgeries, and the nurses and the surgeons and some of the just medical students would say, oh, you know, I just saw this poor child talking about Rahaf, and this is just so sad about what's happening over there.